Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, I am so pleased to have on the show right now the voice of the Florida State Seminoles and the Tampa Bay Bucks, and I consider a very fortunate and good friend, Gene Deckerhoff. Gene, thanks so much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, Joe, it's, we're in the March Madness now, and things are going crazy with basketball over the country. We've muddled through, I guess that would be the word, or we have survived the COVID pandemic. At least 81% of ACC games have been played. Some of the conferences have not played that many. I know we've been hit with we lost 7 games this year due to COVID protocol, but we're making it through the season, Joe. We're learning to live with this awful disease, you know?
Well, you might be the star of the show here, because during this crazy season, you might be the guy that gets to announce the Super Bowl and the Final Four.
Yeah, wouldn't that be a treat? The Super Bowl is already fait accompli. That's a French diplomatic term, fait accompli. We've already done that, and the Final Four is on the horizon. Florida State played very well last night in basketball, and we stubbed our toe at Chapel Hill on Saturday, but then a lot of teams stubbed their toe at Chapel Hill. It's a tough venue to go in and play at the Dean Smith Center, but Noles have won 10 of the last 12. Last night won their 25th consecutive ACC home game, which is one ACC home win short of the great Duke teams of the late 1990s. 1997 through 2000, they won 26 in a row, and FSU got a chance to tie that probably next year. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised if the ACC schedule makers scheduled Duke to be our first home game. would that not be a must-see TV game? Duke versus Florida State, Duke trying to hold serve with a record, and Florida State trying to tie them and then maybe go ahead. But, former University of Miami head coach Leonard Hamilton has had a phenomenal run in Tallahassee. This is his 19th year, and, he left Miami to go into the NBA for 1 year, and that didn't work out. And 2 years later, he takes the job at Florida State, and the rest, as they say, is history. I'll almost promise you, well, I can't promise because you never know how the media is going to vote, but Leonard's a 3-time winner of ACC Coach of the Year. And I'm going to lobby you, Joe. You've got to vote. Vote for Leonard Hamilton for ACC Coach of the Year, second year in a row, okay? I'm lobbying for him, okay?
You don't have to.
I don't think I violated any election laws here on this radio program, did I?
You don't have to lobby me. We're going to talk about Tom Brady in a moment, but while we're on Florida State basketball and Leonard, and we both have worked with Leonard, you longer than me now, but I don't think he's changed that much in terms of once he gets his team together and focused, he is relentless in his preparation, and he has put together a heck of a roster.
Yeah, it's amazing what he has been able to do. And when you lose 3 players to the NBA, and that's exactly what we lost. Patrick Williams was the number 4 pick. Devin Vassell was the number 11 pick. Trent Forrest was a free agent, but he's on the roster of the Utah Jazz. You lose 3 to the NBA, generally – unless you're Duke, you don't reload and have a tremendous season the following year. But somehow, some way, Leonard Hamilton, with his new bloods at Florida State, have really shocked, I think, the old blue bloods of Tobacco Road. It's been a tremendous run. I can remember the days where we lost 26 consecutive away games. I mean, road trips were absolutely a nightmare. And that was between Steve Robinson and Leonard Hamilton. The coaching changed there back, 19 years ago. But, you know how road trips are when you lose. They're not fun at all. And can you imagine 26? I mean, that's over 2.5 years.
No, don't.
Leonard's turned it around, and it's going the right way. And I understand. I very seldom have a chance to follow football recruiting, let alone basketball recruiting. But I understand that Leonard has a top five class coming in next year. We'll see how that works out.
And he doesn't stop. I mean, they're a very deep team. I think they're a Final Four team. I'm not sure what could slow them down other than a bad shooting night.
Yeah. Yeah, in Chapel Hill on Saturday, that's what happened. FSU had 5 turnovers in the first half and shot the ball better than 50%. The second half, we couldn't buy a basket. We turned the ball over 5 times in the first 3 minutes. Had 20 turnovers in the ball game. You can't do that and beat North Carolina at the Dean Smith Center. But, yeah, that's basketball. You either play with your A game or you go home.
Okay, you went to the Super Bowl. You broadcast the Super Bowl, took down the Kansas City Chiefs. Congratulations on that. Why did the Bucs win the Super Bowl? What happened?
Well, Tom Brady, and Tom Brady, those are the first 3 questions, and those are the first 3 answers. I don't think the Bucs go deep into the playoffs without Tom Brady, and I don't think the Bucs beat Kansas City without Tom Brady. And so the most valuable player, again, for the 7th time in his career, Tom Brady was the man, the GOAT. And, we get behind 3. It was sort of eerie, Joe. The first Bucs Super Bowl was the 2002 season. We played the Oakland Raiders in San Diego, and San Diego took an early 3-0 lead. You said, uh-oh, we're behind early. And then the Bucs just kept coming back and coming back, converting third downs, and finally got the offense going, and we score a touchdown, take the lead at 7-3. And who would have thought that at 7-3 that the Kansas City Chiefs, the best offense in the National Football League, would score just 2 more field goals, a total of 9 points. But that's how it turned out. Brady throws 3 touchdown passes. Leonard Fournette scores a 21-yard touchdown run. That was the decisive dagger score of the game, in my opinion. That was in the 3rd quarter. We answered their early field goal on their first possession. And then shut the door on Kansas City. The Chiefs, whatever the Bucs did defensively, if you could replicate that again, you would not lose another football game forever, because the Bucs just come. Todd Bowles, he should get his own Lombardi trophy for his office. I mean, the big one, not that little teeny one that they give the players and the coaches. Because the defensive game plan he came up with was absolutely marvelous. It shut down Patrick Mahomes of the Kansas City offense. Tyreek Hill had 201 yards receiving in the first quarter in the regular season game. And Tyreek Hill, we shut him down. It was an amazing job by the defense.
Mahomes had 3,000 yards rushing backwards.
the amazing thing is we lose in the regular season. It's tough to beat a team twice, and the Bucs were ready for them. And, I don't know how much you add into it because of the COVID protocol. The NFL allowed 25 in the state of Florida, and the Tampa Sports Authority, they allowed 25,000 fans, 7,500 healthcare workers that were given free admission to the Super Bowl. I thought that was a great stroke by the NFL and Commissioner Roger Goodell. But you had 25,000 in a 65,000-seat stadium. I don't know how much home field advantage was, but I do know the Bucs used their own locker room, so it felt comfortable. You had that little comfort to it, and the Bucs, the first team to ever host the Super Bowl in their home stadium, and maybe that was the secret formula. Maybe if the Bucs played Kansas City, say, in MetLife Stadium in New York, number 1, they'd have froze to death. But number 2, we might not have had the advantage that we had playing the Kansas City Chiefs in Tampa. You can't put a finger on it. I know Tom Brady. And I didn't realize how many people hated Tom Brady, but by golly, nobody wants Tom Brady to win. I guess that's because he's been so successful. But he has 1 more year in his contract, and he's telling the Buccaneers he might want to play 3 or 4 more years. And I think the Buccaneers will pay him if he wants to.
What was it like for you waking up on Super Bowl Sunday to broadcast the Super Bowl from your home stadium?
Well, you know, I live in Tallahassee, so I had that 4.5 hour drive down to Tampa. But my wife and I, we went down on Saturday. So we had Friday, I beg your pardon. We had Friday night. We had Saturday all day. We took a nice long walk around. Well, it's near the airport, so at the team hotel, but and a little walk. You know, had a nice dinner the night before, and the game's not till 6 o'clock that night. So you sleep in a little bit. And Joe, you know, you're a broadcaster. You just never feel like you've done enough preparation. So you read some more stuff. You look on the web for some more stuff. You go over your notes some more, and then you park in a place where you've never seen this parking place before, because the NFL completely took over the stadium. So my normal parking place where I park for every home game, I was in the South 40, and I walk one way, and they said, no, you got to go to the other end of the stadium. And I walk all the way around the stadium. I wore myself out dragging that big old briefcase on those wheels to get into the media entrance. But and then we had a temporary media booth. Now, don't get the violin out, Joe, and start playing sad songs for me. But we had a temporary booth. I mean, there's nothing like a plywood booth, Joe, to broadcast from the end zone, no less. And then all of a sudden, game starts at 6, pregame show. You know, we started early, about 4:30, and no problem. All of a sudden, the sun goes down. We had no lights in our booth.
Uh-oh.
No lights. So I'm holding my depth charts up to face the lights at the stadium to see who is that number guy, but it's all part of broadcasting a Super Bowl. And hey, forget about it. I'd broadcast that on a horse if I was broadcasting a Super Bowl game. It wouldn't bother me.
I'm going to put the pressure on you. Super Bowl, broadcasting the Super Bowl or the national championship game a couple of years ago?
Well, they're the same level. They're the same level. The excitement. The excitement in the Rose Bowl with Jameis Winston, the Heisman Trophy winner, and Jameis Winston, the Seminole team, probably as good a team as has ever been assembled in Tallahassee. It reminded me of some of those great Miami teams back in the 1990s, with Jimmy Johnson and Dennis Erickson, but it was a tremendous football team, and they had to come from behind to win. There was drama in that championship game. In the Super Bowl this year, the drama was gone. In the fourth quarter, KC could do nothing, but that game came down to the last play of the game by FSU, and FSU won. Kelvin Benjamin with a catch, touchdown FSU, so there was that drama, Kermit Whitfield with that 100-yard kickoff return, plus broadcasting in the Rose Bowl. I mean, good grief. I mean, you see the Rose Bowl on TV, you've seen Rose Bowl games your whole life, and then you have a chance to broadcast from the Rose Bowl. I mean, you walk around that building, Joe, and they've got murals on every floor. When you get off the elevator, they've got the great heroes of football that have played in the Rose Bowl. The environment was just something very, very, very special. And there's nothing like a Super Bowl. When we played the Oakland Raiders back in Super Bowl 37, it was, and Super Bowl 45. Two tremendous experiences for me. I don't know, unless we do another Super Bowl or another national championship football game or a Final Four championship basketball game, I don't know if you can get any better than that, Joe. I can't explain the feeling. I don't think there were goosebumps. I don't think, because you're there to do a job, I don't think there were goosebumps. I don't think there were butterflies. But when you sat down in that chair to broadcast that event, you knew you were doing something special. And I think that's the feeling that most broadcasters have.
You mentioned Miami, University of Miami, Miami, Florida State, all the great games that we've done. And some people will say, hey, Miami, Florida State's such a intense rivalry. Are the broadcasters friends? And I'm glad to call you a friend for damn near 40 years, and and we've enjoyed some great Miami Florida State games. We both have had heartbreak. We've all both have had great wins. So I'll ask you the question that I get asked all the time. We lump it together. You ever think we're going to get back to those games?
Well, I think we will. I think Manny's got the Hurricanes going in the right direction. I know he has. They've been on a hunt for the ACC Coastal Division Championship now, since he's been the head coach. Yeah. Florida State's got some work to do. The coaching change. Your program is about as low as it's going to get. I think that Mike Norvell has turned the corner. I think he had an exceptional recruiting class, considering – the Noles went 3-6, and considering the COVID-19 pandemic and what it must be like to try to recruit kids via Zoom, I don't know how it is to recruit kids face-to-face, let alone kids via Zoom and the internet, you know, but I think it was a quality recruiting class. Plus, a lot of folks are saying that Mike Norvell may have won the portal battle as well. Some players coming in that have played at other schools that are transferring in. And I think that's going to be the nucleus of the Mike Norvell second year as the head coach of Florida State. I don't think Miami will beat FSU 52-10 this year. That comes along about once every 15 years. You know, FSU beat Miami 49-0 once, I believe, and 52-10. Well, you know, take your lumps. And remember, Coach Norvell was not on the sideline in that football game.
Right.
He was back home quarantining with COVID-19. But I don't see that one. I do think that the era of one team winning 6, 7, 8 games in a row, like Florida State did recently, and then we stubbed our toe now the last three, I believe it is. But I don't think you're going to see that. I think the series is going to even out. But I'll guarantee it will be must-see TV. The networks will gobble it up. And I'm not talking about the ACC network. I'm talking about ABC, ESPN. That game will be on national television. It always has been. I think, Joe, that since you and I have been doing the first couple of years that I did, I started in 79, we may have missed 1 or 2 years of that game being nationally televised. But I think since then that the Miami-Florida State football game has been national TV, must-watch TV, and I think it will continue to be. The brands are too good not to have it. You know, when we were getting – we were getting our teeth wet in the broadcast business, trying to get a job, you know, in a school. Oklahoma, Nebraska, they were the big guns, you know. You had Southern Cal, they were the big guns, you know. In the South, you had Georgia, and you had, Alabama didn't really hit their stride until Nick Saban became the head coach, and what a tremendous job he's done. But all you heard about, you know, on Thanksgiving weekend, it was Oklahoma, Nebraska.
Right.
It was Oklahoma, Nebraska. And now it's Florida State, Miami. Florida's making some noise over in Gainesville. So the big three, I remember the national sports publication, I don't quote because of some awful stories they've written about my favorite school, but they had a cover that said, you know, that this was the Florida Conference. You had Florida, Miami, Florida State. And that was back in the day, 1993, I think it was, 1994. And I think those days are soon to be back. I think the big Florida Conference is going to be the teams to reckon with in their respective conferences.
You mentioned 1979, so your second year, 1980, which was my first year. 1980 was my second year in radio, and I was board hopping at another radio station. And we carried Florida State football at night, Saturday night, Florida State football, Doak Campbell Stadium, with Gene Deckerhoff and Vic Prinzi.
There you go. Yeah, those were the days. You know, my first year, Joe, we went 11-0, and we lost the bowl game. We lost in Miami, as a matter of fact, in the Orange Bowl to Oklahoma, and they wore us out. They had a great football team. But 11-0, we could not broadcast the bowl games back in the day. You could not get the radio rights. Mutual had exclusive rights on those things. 1980, the only game we lost was at Miami, and you had a big old nose tackle fall down and knock down a 2-point try, or we'd have won that ball game.
Jim Burt.
We lost by one. Jim Burt that went up to play for the New York Jets.
Yeah.
And he reaches up and paws that 2-point. Phil Williams was wide open in the end zone, and the 2-point try failed, and we lose by 1 point. But I had broadcast 22 games, and I was 21-1 my first 2 years. I thought I had the best job on the planet. I still do.
Yeah. It's what people ask me. During the Jimmy Johnson era, I did the locker room show, and we had one loss. I always thought that was the way it was going to go. You know, what I remember, 1991, the wide right game, and I told you earlier, we lost our great Larry Wall, but we were in Tallahassee for that wide right game, and Wayne Hogan, your great SID, walked into our booth, and you were there, and he said, "Fellas, what's great about this is we got a beautiful day. It's number one against number two, and the Gators are playing Kentucky."
Oh, wide right, 1991, you know, and of all the games that Florida State and Miami have played, there have been some great football games, but that one in 1987 what do we have, about 16 players off those two teams play in the National Football League. I mean, play like first team starters in the National Football League. And Florida State, we go for two, and was it Bubba?
Bubba McDowell
knocks down the 2-point try, and that may have been the best football game outside the Rose Bowl of 2013, Joe, that I've ever broadcast.
You guys had a great pass to Ronald Lewis for a touchdown late in the game. I think that set up the 2-point conversion.
That set up the 2-point try. Yeah. You know, when you go back to the first half in FSU, we had a bad snap on a field goal attempt, and we hadn't got those 3 points, we would not have had to try for a 2-point conversion. You know, but hey, that's football. You know.
That was the one where Steve Walsh found Michael Irvin down the right sideline. How about that? Michael Irvin and Deion Sanders. No. We want to talk about Miami and Florida State getting back. That's what you just mentioned. About 35 NFL guys played in those games.
Yeah. That was the 1987 Florida State-Miami game here in at Doak Campbell Stadium. It was a tremendous football game. Tremendous football game.
Well, this has been a good trip down memory road. Congratulations on the Super Bowl and what I think is going to be a heck of a NCAA tournament basketball run for you. And I'm going to call you again this spring, because every time I called you last year, you were out in the pool having a cocktail watching television.
Yeah, those are the good days. Hey, Joe, great talking to you.
All right, Gino, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.